Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming. Quite a lengthy passage of scripture before us this evening in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and down into the first 11 verses of chapter 10. So I'll just read some verses from the passage. I'll not read the whole passage. The heading I've put over tonight's study is the danger of forgetting God. The danger of forgetting God. Let me just pick up a few verses from the end of chapter 8, verse 11. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Verse 19, and if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Chapter 9, verse 1, hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? Know therefore today that he who goes over before you as a consuming fire is the Lord your God. He will destroy them and subdue them before you. So you shall drive them out and make them perish quickly as the Lord has promised you. Do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. Verse 5, not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out from before you, and that he may confirm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Verse 7. Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Even at Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was so angry with you that he was ready to destroy you. And down to verse 13, we break in now to the story of Moses on the top of Mount Sinai with God receiving the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Furthermore, the Lord said to me, Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stubborn people. Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of you, Moses, a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mountain, and the mountain was burning with fire. The two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God. You had made yourselves a golden calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way that the Lord had commanded you. So I took hold of the two tablets and broke them before your eyes. Then I lay prostrate before the Lord as before, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all the sin that you had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure that the Lord bore against you, so that he was ready to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me that time also. And the Lord was so angry with Aaron that he was ready to destroy him, and I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. Then I took the sinful thing, the calf that you had made, and burned it with fire and crushed it, grinding it very small until it was as fine as dust, and I threw the dust of it into the brook that ran down from the mountain. verse 25. So I lay prostrate before the Lord for these 40 days and 40 nights, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. And I prayed to the Lord, O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your heritage, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not regard the stubbornness of this people, or their wickedness, or their sin, lest the land from which you brought us say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land that he had promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to put them to death in the wilderness. For they are your people and your heritage, whom you brought out by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Amen. We'll leave the reading there for the time being. Now, you may remember a story that made the news a good few years ago, and it concerned our Prime Minister of the time, David Cameron. And basically, he forgot about his daughter, Nancy, and he left her in the pub. And I think the Camerons, they had obviously popped out Sunday afternoon for a spot of lunch to a gastropub, and making their way home to their house, they suddenly realized that their daughter Nancy wasn't with them, and poor old Nancy had been left by herself in the pub. And she had to wait there something like 15 or 20 minutes before the Prime Minister himself, David Cameron, her father, went to the pub to pick her up. And it was all over the news, you know, bad parenting and all the rest of it. And as a father of four, you know, I could sympathize. You know, it's easy done. Sometimes you might choose to forget your children after a nice meal with them. But on the theme of forgetting your nearest and dearest, I also remember an occasion where I made the fatal mistake of completely forgetting my anniversary. And they say you'll only ever do that once. And what made it worse was, on that occasion, I had organized a business dinner for the night of my anniversary. And it was not the smartest move that I've ever made. And let it just be said that, you know, the atmosphere in the house those few days were rather frosty. But it goes without saying that it's not a good thing to forget your children. It's not a good thing to forget your anniversary, your spouse. Not a good thing to forget those who are nearest and dearest to you, the people that you love. As we come to Deuteronomy chapter 9, the theme that I want to take up tonight from this passage is the danger of forgetting God. And this is really what Moses brings before the children of Israel in the second half of chapter 8, the danger of forgetting God. And what stands out in chapter 8 for me is what Moses seems to emphasize is that the danger of forgetting God is greater when things are going well for you. You know, during times of success, during times of prosperity, during times of victory, Moses seems to emphasize that it's then when we are most likely to forget God. I guess that's what Andy was talking about last week. You know, the danger of plenty. Moses says in verse 12 of chapter 8, you know, it's when you have eaten and are full. When you have built good houses to live in. When your herds are multiplied. When the silver and gold is multiplied. When things are prosperous, when you're full of self-confidence, when you have perhaps lost that sense of dependency upon God, there is a real danger you forget God in your life. I think Moses emphasizes three aspects in chapter 8 of forgetting God. In verse 11, it's forgetting his word. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, forgetting his word. In verse 14, it's about forgetting his blessings. You know, when you've experienced success and prosperity and your heart is lifted up, you know, the danger of pride. And you forget the Lord God who gave you all these blessings, both material and spiritual blessings, you forget. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. And God could take it away in a stroke. And then thirdly, at the end of chapter 8, you know, it's about forgetting God to the extent in your life that you push God out of your life and you replace him with empty idols. And chapter 8 ends with a pretty solemn warning to the children of Israel, you know, about the danger of forgetting God and going after other gods. Moses says to them that if you forget the Lord your God, go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Solemn stuff. Moses says, don't forget God. Don't forget God. Now let's just take a moment and apply this to our own lives. How about you in your life tonight as you sit in your chair? Where are you spiritually? Have you forgotten God? Even in the course, just take this past week and be honest with yourself in the presence of God. Have you forgotten God? Do you only think about God on Sundays? If you think about the past week, have you forgotten his word? Have you read it? If you've read it, do you think about it? Do you meditate upon it? Do you live it? Do you obey it? Or do you ignore it? Have you forgotten his blessings? You know, has it been a good week for you? Are things going well? Business thriving, career on track. Socially, things have been good. You're back at uni. Studies, back into studies, new friends, etc. Have you forgotten God? You know, if you keep on forgetting God, pretty soon you push God out of your life. And you have filled your life with empty idols. And we all do it. You know, whether it's career, whether it's wealth, whether it's your health, whether it's your family, your idols will be different from the idols in my life. And you bow down and you worship them and you've pushed God out of your life. And God is no longer in your daily thinking and God is no longer in your daily life. And it's the danger of forgetting God. Forgetting God. Now, when you come to chapter 9, you know, Moses is preparing the people to live for God. He's preparing the people to enter the promised land. You know, that's the theme of the book. You know, living for God. He's preparing them to live for God. Verse 1, he says, Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today. Not this very day, but soon. You know, the time is coming. God is going to take you into the promised land. He's preparing the people for success. Preparing them for prosperity, for victory in the promised land. You read verses 1 and 2, and you know, I love these verses. Moses is telling the people what God is going to do through them. He says, through God you will overcome your enemies. You will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. These are nations that you wouldn't stand a chance against on your own. But through God you'll dispossess them. Now the Bible teaches us that as Christians we face an enemy that is too powerful for us to stand against in our own strength. We were thinking about that this morning, you know. Paul says you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. Do you think you can stand against Satan in your own strength? But with the armor of God, and in the strength of his might, you can withstand and you can overcome. You are an overcomer in Christ. Moses says in verse 2, or still in verse 1, he says, God will remove obstacles from your path, from which, from your viewpoint, it just seems as though there's no way around. You know, cities that are great and fortified up to heaven. Do you have obstacles in your life just now that you just can't see any way around? And they are impeding your spiritual development and progress for God. And your greatest fears, you know, God will consume them. The sons of Anakim, the people tall and great. You know them. You know what's said about them. Who can stand against them? These giants. You go back to chapter 1 and the children of Israel were in dread. They were terrified of them. Facing giants in your life? Your greatest fears, your greatest anxieties? What troubles you? Concerns about your job, your health? God says, give them to me. Cast them all on me. Moses says to the people, you know, remember your God. Remember the greatness of your God. He is a God who goes before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them through you. You know, it will all be of God. It will be God's power. It will be God's strength. But he will do it through you. So you shall drive them out and make them perish quickly as the Lord has promised you. You know, it's just a picture of the Christian life. You know, Philippians 1 verse 6, you know, it's God in you. It's Christ in you. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What God can do through you, if you trust him, and obey him and let his power just flow through you. And he is a God who goes before us. A God who goes before us. But Moses is saying, you know, when God grants you times of success and times of prosperity, don't forget God. Don't forget God. Now in verses 4 to 6, three times over, Moses warns the people that after you come into the land, after you've had a taste of success, don't forget God. Don't say in your heart, it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me into this land. You know, it's the point that Rod was emphasizing in when he was cheering the service. You know, three times over, don't say it's because of my righteousness. Don't forget God. Don't forget it was God who gave it to you. It was God who brought you into the land. It was God's power that went before you. It's nothing to do with you. It's not because of you. You haven't earned this. You haven't merited this. It is all of God. It is God's grace. And it is often in times of success, times of prosperity, that we are most likely to forget God. And to forget his word, to forget his blessings, and to push him out of our lives and replace him with idols. Now, to reinforce this warning to the people to not forget God, Moses reminds them of an incident from their history. When the previous generation forgot God, and they forgot God big style. And it's not just the fact that they forgot God, it's about how quickly and how easily and how totally they forgot God. And it's the alarming rate of spiritual departure that occurred in the so-called people of God, the children of Israel. In verse 8, Moses takes the people back to Mount Horeb, to Sinai. And he takes them back to the incident with the golden calf, when the people made for themselves, out of the jewelry that they had taken from Egypt, they made for themselves an idol in the form of a calf, and they worshipped it. And the amazing thing to me out of that whole sorry episode is the speed with which they forgot God and replaced God with a manufactured idol. Now, let me quickly just give you some of the background to this incident from their history, because this is important. You know, you need to go back to Exodus 24. And when you come to Exodus 24, you'll find Moses. And Moses is rehearsing before the people the terms of God's law. You know, verse 3 of the chapter says, Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. You know, this was Moses communicating to the people God's law, how God's instruction for the people, how God wanted them to live. He even wrote it down in a book, the Book of the Covenant, and he read the Book of the Covenant to the people. And you'll read in Exodus 24 that sacrifices were made. Blood was shed. And half of the blood was thrown over the people. And commitments were made by the people. Twice over, the people responded to Moses when they heard God's law for them. They responded twice over. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And we will be obedient. Twice over. Then Moses goes up the mountain to meet with God, to receive the tables of stone, the tables of the covenant. And he's away 40 days and 40 nights on top of the mountain with God. And within that same time period, 40 days or so, the people from the spiritual heights of making that commitment to God, saying, we will obey him, we will do his word, making that commitment, they have completely forgotten God. They have forgotten his word. They have forgotten his blessings, and they have literally replaced God with the golden calf. Verse 12, you know, on top of the mountain, God says to Moses, go down quickly, for they have turned aside quickly. You know, it's the speed with which they turned from God. 40 days. And even before Moses had returned from the mountain with the tablets of the covenant, the people had already broken the covenant. You would hardly believe it. God was angry with them. This was a sin so serious that God was ready to destroy the people. Verse 8 and verse 14. What went so wrong? What went so wrong to make them forget God so quickly? Well, if you read Exodus 32, you'll discover a few things. First of all, you'll discover that they lost patience with God. They lost patience with God's timing. Moses had gone up the mountain. They said, where's Moses? What's become of Moses? We don't know what's become of him. And they lost patience with God. That can be a difficult thing in life, waiting on God's timing. You know, God's timing's not our timing. If you've prayed for something, if you've prayed for someone, and it just seems as though there's no answer from God, you lose patience with God. You can end up forgetting God. They lost patience with God. Secondly, they still had Egypt very much in their hearts and minds. You know, if you go to Acts chapter 7, and Stephen is speaking, and Stephen says in Acts chapter 7, he says, our fathers refused to obey Moses. They thrust him aside, and in their hearts, they turned to Egypt. You know, they still had a longing in their heart for Egypt. I remember someone in the family bought the boys a book, Disciplines of a Godly Young Man. I'm sure some of you have read through that as a Bible study. And I remember a comment from that book, Kent Hughes, I think it was. And he's talking about the tragedy of the Christian church. And he makes this comment that the tragedy of the Christian church is Christians without Christian minds. That we don't think as Christians. You know, that our minds are still in Egypt. That there is still a longing, there is still a hankering after the things that we should have left behind. They lost patience with God. They still had Egypt in their hearts and minds. Thirdly, there was a chronic failure of leadership among the people. You know, Aaron, the high priest designate, this was the man who would represent the people of God in the very presence of God. He had the full confidence of Moses. Before Moses went up the mountain, he said to the elders of the people, look, if you've got a dispute, if you've got an incident, bring it to Aaron and Hur. He had the full confidence of Moses. You'll read in Exodus 24 that Aaron, along with Moses and Nadab and Abihu and the elders, they saw God. The Bible says that they saw God. They beheld God and they ate and drank. Amazing. This same Aaron, you know, he made no attempt to dissuade the people from falling into idolatry. He gave them no spiritual counsel. He gave them no spiritual wisdom. The people came to Aaron and they said, make us gods that will go before us. And in a flash, Aaron said, give me your jewelry. And he made the golden calf. Not only that, he built an altar before the golden calf. He tried to give their idolatry a spiritual tone. And Aaron was held personally responsible by God. And God was ready to destroy him. You know, there are lessons, serious lessons for those who lead God's people. You know, the danger of compromise. And then fourthly, where did all this lead to? Well, the people lost control. They lost control over their minds. They lost control over their bodies. You know, Exodus 32 verse 6, the people sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. You know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, he quotes that very phrase in the context of sexual immorality, sexual sin. Within 40 days from their commitment to the covenant, to keep the covenant of God, to such debauchery and departure. 40 days. What did God do? How did this episode end? Did God destroy the people? Did God destroy Aaron? No, he didn't. His judgment came on some of the people. You know, Moses stood in the gate. Who is on the Lord's side? And I think it was 3,000 men fell that day. But it needed a spiritual man. A man who was in touch with God. You know, Moses, who had been on the mountain in the presence of God. And it needed a man who was prepared to intercede. A man who was prepared to get into the presence of God and pray for the people. And pray for Aaron. And Moses understood the seriousness of their sin. And in verse 25, he prayed to the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He humbled himself in the presence of God, prostrated himself. He persisted with God 40 days and 40 nights. And he was completely focused on this one issue. You know, he didn't eat, he didn't drink. He denied himself the basic necessities of life. He wanted to show God how serious he was about this. And you can read his prayer in verses 26 to 29. You know, don't destroy your people, God. You know, on the top of Mount Sinai in verse 12, God says to Moses, they're your people. You know, they weren't living like God's people. He says, they're your people. Moses prays to God here and he says, no, God, they're your people. They're your heritage. You redeemed them. Verse 27, he reminds God of his covenant promise. In verse 28, he's jealous for the honor of God's name. He says, what will the Egyptians say about you, Lord, if you destroy them? They'll say you're not able to fulfill your promise. Don't destroy them. And the Lord heard the prayer of Moses. Verse 19, but the Lord listened to me. And it brings us to chapter 10. And it brings us to the wonderful mercy and grace of God. What did God do? Such a sin. What did God do? He restored his covenant with the people. Chapter 10, verse 1. At that time, the Lord said to me, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and come up to me on the mountain and make an ark of wood, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets that you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. And for a second time, Moses comes down from the mountain with a second set of tablets of covenant. Where did God tell him to put them? To put them inside the ark of the covenant. And what covers the Ark of the Covenant? The mercy seat of God. The mercy seat. God literally covered their sin with his mercy. Not only did God restore his covenant, he restored Aaron. And the Aaronic priesthood, you know, verse 6 of chapter 10, Aaron died. And there he was buried, and his son Eleazar ministered as priest in his place. You know, God was so angry with Aaron, he wanted to destroy him. And yet this is the man who is God's high priest. The restoring grace of God. You know, sometimes when a brother or a sister is overtaken in a sin, and perhaps it becomes quite public, sometimes we are very quick to write them off, to consign them to failure and to write that person off. Aaron is an example to me of God's restoring grace. That sin is not the end. That restoration and recovery is possible with God. Praise God for his restoring grace. Praise God for spiritual men and women who can intercede in prayer on behalf of others. Praise God for our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who ever lives to make intercession for us. And so Moses prepares the people for success, to enter the land, and he warns them, don't forget God, don't forget his word, don't forget his blessings, don't push God out of your lives and replace him with empty idols. And so as Sunday night draws to a close, and as you leave from here, and a new week lies before you, will you forget God? Will you forget God this week? Until next Sunday, can I just close by quoting verse 12 of chapter 10? Because it asks a question. I think it's always good to end on a question. And you ask yourself this question, as I ask myself this question as I read it. Moses says to the people, and now Israel. And you read that to yourself, and now. What does the Lord, your God, require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Will you forget God? May God bless his word. I'll close in prayer. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you're a God of mercy, a God who is rich in mercy. Thank you for your grace. And oh God, we ask for your mercy upon us for the times that we forget you. And Father, we pray that we may go into this week in your will, clinging to you, that we may follow you. Thank you that you are a God who goes before us. And Father, we just pray that you would strengthen our faith and help us to trust you whatever this week brings. And pray, Father, that we may not forget you. Father, we just ask that your Spirit would minister to each and every heart bowed in your presence. We ask these things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.